long time ago when I was a boy, we used to sing a song that is no longer in our songbook. I am satisfied with Jesus. He has done so much for me. He has suffered to redeem me. He has died to set me free. The question I'm going to direct to you tonight is this: are you satisfied with God? Don't be in a hurry to answer that. Is he doing to suit you? If he blasts your gourds and lays them low, do you still praise him? Or are you inwardly miffed and petulant and offended that he would deign to thwart your best efforts? After all, it was for his sake that all this was attempted. I want to consider some reasons why men are offended at God and consequently fail to enter into the place of blessing. Firstly, I would mention they think they know him well. The inhabitants of Nazareth were well acquainted with Mary and Joseph and their children. And then when the young scholar amazed them with his understanding, they could not take it in. I read, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And on the Sabbath day when was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house." So they were offended or caused to stumble. Sometimes we have read the Bible, we have looked at nature, we have observed the course of history, and we get to thinking that we understand. Now, we ought to remember our limitations as we contemplate the infinite. God has chosen to reveal himself, else he would have remained the unknown God. But our ability to apprehend some of the mystical concepts presented to us constitute a problem. Not to God. He said by the prophet, "For your thoughts are not my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In the 103rd Psalm, verse 14, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we're dust. And so, when he takes Job to task for shooting off his mouth, all that is needful is for the great I Am to pose a series of questions. Where were you? Where were you when this happened and this happened? Who has set the bounds of the proud waves, saying, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further? We get to thinking that we can fit God into our mold and comprehend Him. And then when our agenda does not correspond to His agenda, we are offended. The crowd that followed Jesus, disciples or learners, they were referred to as, they thought they knew Him. They were just sure that their systematic theology encompassed Him and that they could fit Him into a mold of their making and so predict what He would do and say. And then when He got to saying some things that were over their head, they had a problem. I read in John 6, verse 41, the Jews then murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And he goes on, Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit, their life. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. He did not dot his I's and cross his T's like they thought he should, and they were offended and walked no more with him. Consider the case of Jonah. Jonah was a believer. Jonah was a prophet of God. Jonah was sound on sovereignty. You know, as I contemplate this, I think the Armenians do not have as much of a problem with this. They have a God that they feel sorry for, that if he, you know, if he could, he would really do better. But Jonah was aware of the God who is, and Jonah had a problem. Now, I believe that in the early formative years of Jonah, he acquired some strong prejudices. Just suppose for a minute that in his childhood, a roving band of Assyrian soldiers had come through Gath Hepher, had killed his father and carried his mother away captive, and that he had escaped by fleetness of foot, only to return and find that the desolation of his family was permanent. Suppose that happened. And then I read, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Why? Jonah was a prophet of God. Jonah knew the God who is. Jonah knew that God was sovereign. Jonah knew that the mighty God could have spared his father, could have preserved his family, and did not. Why did Jonah rise up to flee to Tarshish? Well, Jonah tells us later why he did. I read Jonah 3, verse 10, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. I knew you had a purpose of mercy, or you would not send them a message of impending judgment. And Jonah wanted no mercy for the Assyrians and found himself at odds with God. It was not that Jonah was afraid of his prophetic ministry being discredited. It was the personal grief and suffering that he had endured that had not been turned over to God and laid aside. And so the patient God dealt with his errant servant until he came to understand that his little brain and his little heart needed to expand to conform to the purposes of his great God. Sometimes we find ourselves limited like Jonah. sometimes we get so involved with great religious undertakings that we are displeased when God wilts our gourds. Consider David. I read in 1 Chronicles 13, David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader, and David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt even unto the entering of Hamath to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up and all Israel to Baalah, which is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belongeth to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahiah drove the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, with singing and with harps, with psalteries, with timbrels, with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. Sometimes we get so busy with our religious programs that when the project fails, we do not understand, and we take issue with our God. When your intentions are good and the project fails, how do you feel? We do well to learn from Rebekah. Rebekah, who had a problem, the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. That's the answer to our problem. She went to inquire of the Lord. I want to touch on another case, the case of John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. A man sent from God. He had a message from God. He knew that he was God's man, and he knew that he had God's message, and he faithfully proclaimed it. And yet, the message and the messenger stagnated in prison. John could not figure that out. And so he sent messengers to inquire. It came to pass Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He had a message from God, but both the message and the messenger were shackled. Our Lord was very gentle in his treatment of John, very complimentary of the man. But the warning for us remains. Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. In the previous chapter, our Lord sent forth the 12 and told them of their rejection and their bad treatment. Matthew 10, verse 17, Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. And then he told them why. Ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. He has a purpose in it all. So Peter could write to the suffering saints and say, There is a great salvation in which you're rejoicing, though now, for a season, if needs be, you are in manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, which is much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto the praise and glory of the Lord Jesus. We are myopic. Now that's a medical term, and it means nearsighted. We can't see very far. We are myopic. And God has no such problem. And so when things are not going like we think they should go, we need to remember our limitations. We need to settle it in our minds. Infinite wisdom has a purpose in it all. Are you satisfied with God? Well, sure, you say it. On the days that it's sunshining, on the day that my wife is in a good humor, on the day that I don't have a flat on the way to get my hair fixed, it takes so little to bend us out of shape. But we need to remember, there is one who is in charge. He maketh no mistake. I would like to commend your attention to what I am about to read. I would like you to settle it in your mind. Sometimes we need, on the sunshiny days, we need to settle some things in our mind so that when the storm strikes unexpectedly, we're ready to stand. Whate'er my God ordains is right. Holy his will abideth. I will be still whate'er he doth, and follow where he guideth. He is my God. Though dark my road, he holds me that I shall not fall. Wherefore to him I leave it all. Whate'er my God ordains is right. He never will deceive me. He leads me by the proper path. I know he will not leave me. I take content what he hath sent. His hand can turn my griefs away. So patiently I wait his day. Whate'er my God ordains is right. Though now this cup in drinking may bitter seem to my faint heart, I take it all unshrinking. My God is true. Each morn a new sweet comfort yet shall fill my heart, and pain and sorrow shall depart. Whate'er my God ordains is right. Here shall my stand be taken. Though sorrow, need, or death be mine, yet am I not forsaken. My Father's care is round me there. He holds me that I shall not fall. And so to him I leave it all.